The advice given on this show is for informational purposes only. It is not intended as investment advice. Please consult a financial advisor before undertaking any investment decisions. While the show's producers have tried to provide accurate and timely information and have relied on sources they believe to be reliable, the show may include inadvertent technical or factual inaccuracies. Jack Monteith and Ken Smith do not warrant the accuracy or completeness of the materials provided and expressly disclaim any warranties or merchantability or fitness for a particular purpose.
Good morning and welcome to the Successful Investing Radio Show with me, Jack Monteith, and my business partner, Ken Smith. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Jack.
Hey, this is a show that's going to help you build wealth, protect your wealth, and to enjoy the fruits of your success. Ken and I have a combined 40 years of experience in the financial world, and we're partners in the successful wealth management firm of Empirical Wealth Management. We're here to share with you sound investment and financial advice, the same investment philosophy that Warren Buffett recommends for most individual investors, the passive approach. Ken, before we get started this morning, why don't you share with our listeners how they can contact us?
Oh, sure, Jack. I'd be happy to. You can get a hold of us at Empirical Wealth Management. Our number is 1-800-923-4307. That's 1-800-923-4307. You feel free to call us to talk about the show if you have any questions, comments, ideas, or if you'd like to come in and meet with us and have us explain in a one-on-one setting our investment philosophy and our approach to wealth management. We'd love to invite you to do that. You can visit our website at empiricalwm.com or visit our radio website if you want to listen to this show, other past shows, or future what's coming up in future shows. You can visit that at successfulinvestingradio.com, Successful Investing Radio, all one word.
Ken, you know, we got lots to talk about this morning with the blockbuster news of Lehman Brothers filing for bankruptcy, Merrill Lynch getting acquired by Bank of America, and even locally, our own Washington Mutual.
That's right.
You know, we're getting lots of questions from clients. Well, not so many from our clients, but, you know, there's questions out there. What should an investor do now?
Right.
And so we need to talk about this. We need to give our listeners some guidance on that. Lehman Brothers going bankrupt. What does that mean? Should people be bailing out of the market now?
No, not out of the market, in our opinion, Jack. I think it's a good time, though, and it's a good wake-up call to examine your investment strategy. And, you know, as the market reacts negatively to news, of which is mostly unpredictable, you know, it's a good time to understand, am I properly diversified? How many times, Jack, have we seen clients and investors who have concentrations in stocks or very few mutual funds, and they feel very comfortable and confident because they're familiar with those companies, so they don't mind the fact that they're very heavily weighted towards them. And here in the local markets, Washington Mutual would be an example.
Well, you and I both run into situations where clients have 40 stocks or even 20 stocks, or there's even professional money managers out there that have 20 stocks or 40 stocks and think that they're diversified.
Right.
Well, what kind of impact if you have 20 stocks and you have a stock like Washington Mutual in there that's dropped, I don't know how much percentage, what impact does that have to your overall portfolio compared to what we have and recommend? We have 21,000 stocks in our portfolio.
Yeah, there's over 20,000 securities just in the equity portion, not even counting the fixed income diversification. So, you know, when we go through a crisis like this, I think the first thing you want to do is really be grounded in your investment strategy. Did I have the right mix of stocks to bonds? We talked about that over and over again. And we can't talk about it enough. You shouldn't be taking risk that you're not prepared to sustain and still be able to meet your goals over the long run, right? So the big picture is how much is in stocks in the first place? Not, hey, I'll be in a very aggressive portfolio. First of all, I'll own all stocks. Secondly, I won't worry about how diversified I am. And then when the market goes down, I'll just pull out and wait till things get better.
Well, there's not a company out there or a stock out there that can't drop 50% or more or even go bankrupt.
Right.
So we still see people that are concentrated in stocks that, you know, like a Washington Mutual, because they associate a bank with, you know, security and
right.
safety.
You're right.
And also, there's a lot of people out there buying stocks for the dividends that they pay.
That's true.
And oftentimes what you find with high dividends is, well, they're paying a dividend for a high dividend for a reason.
That's correct.
You know, they're trying to keep you as an investor.
That's right.
So,
well, so getting back to this idea of, you know, what do we do? Well, the first thing we should not do is panic, because when we start acting out of fear and greed and the emotional side of things, we are prone to make poor decisions over the long run. And what that's translated to, in study after study, is below stock and bond market returns for the average investor. So, you know, I would suggest use these scenarios that we go through, the difficulties. You know, the market will work through some of the excesses, and companies will go bankrupt. That's part of it. You know, it's my philosophy, and you can weigh in on this, Jack, that I'm not overly excited about the government jumping in and bailing everyone out. I'm actually glad that they're not. They didn't want to step in and provide capital to Lehman Brothers, as far as I understand.
That's exactly right. I mean, they did jump in and guarantee the obligations of Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. But for me, it tells me that maybe there's an underlying situation in this environment where, you know, the government or the Treasury is maybe seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, and now they think that they can let a Lehman Brothers fail without having, dire consequences
right.
to the economy. Yeah. So we recommend, I think I'm speaking for myself, but I think I'm probably mirroring your thoughts too, Ken. You know, now's the time you just need to hold the course. And it's a great time, especially if you're young. I mean, keep adding your funds into your IRAs and your 401ks. I mean, this is truly a time where you're buying cheap. And if we're looking back a year from now or 2 years from now or certainly 10 years from now, what an opportunity to be buying stocks.
Yeah, and I think it's critical to make the point that there's rewarded risk and unrewarded risk when you're investing in the market, uncompensated or compensated risks. And a Nobel Prize winner by the name of William Sharp, he spoke about unsystematic versus systematic risk. And just to make it simple or keep it simple, there is no bad time to eliminate unrewarded or uncompensated risk. And Jack, what is uncompensated risk? Do you want to take a crack at that?
No, go ahead. You're the expert on that.
All right. Well, you know, when because the market as a whole is pretty smart, and Adam Smith, one of the historic economists, talked about the invisible hand. There's this invisible kind of power that keeps it things priced efficiently or effectively. But because the market's pretty smart about that as a whole, it realizes that we can diversify. We don't need to be concentrated in any one stock. We don't need to be concentrated in any one sector of the economy or the market. We can own all the different sectors. And a truly passive portfolio would be one in which I own each stock in the market economy and each sector relative to its what it makes up of the economy. So if Microsoft as a company was 5% of the total world market or U.S. market capitalization, that's what I would own the weighting in my portfolio or through the mutual funds that I have. Well, so because the market realizes you can diversify, you don't get paid or you shouldn't expect additional return for not being properly diversified or adequately diversified. And I get really frustrated because you have stockbrokers, or I was telling you, Jack, earlier, I was listening to a Susie Orman show and some of the advice and things that were talked about there, where they get confused about waiting for market to turn around. You know, what it would be like saying, hey, you own all financial stocks in your portfolio. That's all you ever bought. And now you just have to wait it out. Or you should have been smart enough to know when to get out of those financial stocks. Well, you know, that's not the case at all. For our clients, you know, our job is to educate them that, hey, we have a globally diversified portfolio of stocks and bonds from all over the world, all sectors of the economy. If we wait out the downturn, we should expect to be compensated with a good return over a long period of time. And that period of time, depending on the difference between each client, will mandate how much we put into equities versus bonds. And if we stick to a very disciplined rebalancing approach, it's going to give them the highest success of not only capturing the returns that the markets afford, but in a lot of cases even doing better, because if we were adding, we would be buying depressed asset classes that will likely go up in the future. There's a difference between that kind of a strategy and staying the course in that than remaining undiversified. And I just want to add one more thing, Jack, and we've been talking about in our little discussions with prospective clients and clients of ours that we've been doing, that a lot of people, they hear us talk about passive or active on the show, but we probably should take a moment to clarify what that is, because I found a lot, most people aren't quite clear of it. And there are certain things that you can do, and you're an active investor, that they didn't realize. And so I'm going to ask you a question, Jack. If I own, say, 20 or 30 stocks in my portfolio and a few mutual funds, and I'm not trading all the time, I'm the average Joe investor out there, and I just bought these and I open an account at Schwab or someplace like that, many of them think that they're in a passive strategy because they're not out there trying to outsmart the market. But do you feel that is, would you classify that as passive, or would you classify that as an active approach?
Well, I'd classify it as passive from the standpoint that they've just stuck their head in the sand. But passive, no. Passive, as we just talked, our passive approach has 21,000 stocks in it and diversified across the world economies. There's no way that somebody can get exposure to the world economies, the broad exposure, both large companies and small companies throughout the world's economies, with 20 stocks or 2 mutual funds or even 5 mutual funds or 10 actively managed mutual funds. Because what you see is oftentimes if people own 10, 12 mutual funds, if you really dig deep into what those mutual funds own, there's so much cross-breeding, so to speak, in those funds that there's really not true diversification.
So the definition of passive doesn't always mean that I'm just not trading or I'm just not making a lot of changes in my portfolio. So if you hold a group of stocks and you're less than diversified on a, you know, you own hundreds or less of stocks rather than thousands, academics would say, well, you're passive in that you're not trading a lot, as you're saying, Jack, but you're really active, because if we can own an entire market of stocks, and that's probably the least risky approach in terms of, hey, I'm willing to take equity risk, I'm going to own every stock in the market, I've eliminated the risk that any one of these companies will go bankrupt, like a Lehman or some of the other ones we're dealing with, to a great extent. But if I own just 10 stocks in my account and I never trade them, it doesn't make me a passive investor, because when I own those 10 stocks, what I am saying is there's something unique about these 10 stocks that I believe they'll do a better job of providing me a higher rate of return than the market. And for that, I'm willing to take on a lot of risk to do so. That's what you're making. That's what you're saying when you do this, when you fail to diversify. And so therefore, you are active. I would put you in the active category. Because for me, active is any strategy that is not based on economic principles that you expect to generate a higher rate of return than the market. And you're taking on a lot more risk to do so. And there's no expected return by doing so. And so what investors unknowingly do, Jack, is they wind up putting a portfolio together that may or may not beat the market. There's no reason to believe it should, but it certainly has a lot more risk.
Right.
And so they're taking an active approach.
You know, there's another very important lesson that I think that our listeners and investors in general can learn, and hopefully you will learn so you don't continue to repeat the mistakes, is you need to design a portfolio. You need to go through a discovery process that we do with our clients. You need to find out what your values and goals are, what your risk tolerance, what your risk capacity is, and then design an allocation to meet those goals. And that has nothing to do with going out and picking what you think is the hottest manager or the hottest stocks. It has nothing to do with that. When you get into an allocation, you should really know what the characteristics of that portfolio. How in the past has it performed during very difficult market times like ourselves? How has it done in good times? So that when we have periods like this in the market, when the market's down 300 points this day, up the next, you already have a feeling for the characteristics of your portfolio. You already know, you've looked back and seen that it's gone through this and it's come through it and it's done very well. So if you go, it's also lesson number two is you really, for most investors, they need a professional advisor that can guide them through this period. And it's also, if you do have a professional advisor, really, did that advisor prepare you up front for these kinds of market conditions? I just had a review, Ken, with one of our clients, and we were talking about the market. And, you know, the market's been down for the last year. I think it's down about 20%.
Yeah.
You know, and that client, you know, although they were uncomfortable with the market, you know, they basically said, well, you know, you've walked us through this before. We expected this. And, you know, it's not the first time, and it's not going to be the last time.
That's right. You know, I think you've hit on some really important issues, and I want to stay there for a second. And that's, you know, when you build your portfolio, don't build it in such a way that you believe, well, if this thing goes down at all, I'm failing. My plan is a failure. As a matter of fact, if you find an advisor who's willing to pull you out of the market when you have a globally diversified portfolio, and that's the key once again, I would fire that advisor, because really, and this is contrary to popular belief, I think, with most people, but the advisor's job is to keep you in the market during tough times, not to get you out. That's the worst possible thing, and it's not worth paying somebody to lock in losses for you. And that's not what we do. And you need somebody, and we're going to have our interviews with author Bill Bachrach coming up shortly. But one of the things he said that struck me as very true is you need somebody who's grounded in these principles, who's disciplined. It's very difficult, even us, Jack, as advisors, if we were to remove ourselves from this and manage our own portfolios, we would get caught up potentially in the emotional game.
Very easy to do.
And so you need the biggest value of that advisor is to, and not just in down markets to explain to you, hey, the markets will come back and this and that, but in the very beginning of the relationship, you know, and look at not just, well, hey, this is the worst 1 year decline for this particular portfolio, and don't just blow that off and disregard it as, oh, that'll never happen. You know, we've broken it down, and we've got a very long document that we put together that shows, you know, here's the worst three declines, and not just in any one calendar year, but from the very peak in a month down to the very bottom for each of these portfolios. And look, here's the top three or four of these declines. And we look at these numbers. Here's what's happened to each year with these globally diversified portfolios, and try to educate clients that, hey, we'll go through this, and the financial plan we put together incorporates these downturns. And so, you know, when you're armed with that education, you're more likely to make rational decisions. And when you have someone holding you accountable, you know, the times that clients have left us during market downturns, Jack, it's mostly because they're giving up on the market, right? I mean, if anything, it's they can't argue logically that, you know, all this empirical data, all the evidence we've shown them is not accurate. It's just they don't want to be held accountable to that.
Right.
And as a good advisor, we have to say, well, then we can't help you. We're not going to do something that we know is bad for you by pulling you out or changing your allocation based on what current market conditions are.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some advice that even some of the nationally recognized advisors, and I won't get into names, but you're probably a little more aggressive about giving out names. But, you know, we recently heard the advice particularly about, well, the stock was down, and you should have gotten out when it was down 10%.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that's just ridiculous advice. I'm going to call it like it is. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
Because really, A, you're trying to time the market, and B, what happens is, well, you shouldn't have been in one stock. I mean, that's lesson number one. But you're trying to time the market, and what often happens in that situation, you just get whipsawed. When do you know? So you get out at 10%, well, the next day the market's up 10%. Do you buy back in? And then the next day it's down 10%. You totally get whipsawed with the cost of transactions, tax situations. That's a ridiculous strategy.
Yeah. You know, it all comes down to apply the principles, diversification, the appropriate asset allocation for you, understanding what your goals and values are that you mentioned earlier, Jack, and then ignoring the day-to-day media and the news. I mean, if you find yourself reading these articles, and if you pull it up on the internet or whatever, it says market is riveted or is reeling, or, you know, it's all very doom and gloom kind of stuff. And it can make us feel very nervous and very bad, and that we need to take action. And it's at these times, then, which inaction And I'm going to steal a quote from Warren Buffett. You know, inaction seems the most prudent choice for us at this time. He said something to that effect. And you know, there's many times that inaction is more powerful strategy than taking action. And so our advice to you is that, educate yourself. Know your market history. Talk to your financial advisor about what to expect. Are we properly diversified? Is this based on an academic approach, to investing? And so when it's okay to hang on, and when you might want to look at this and say, wait a minute, maybe I need to reevaluate all my goals and values and all that. And am I in the right mix of stocks to bonds and so on? And am I properly diversified?
In my opinion, most people they're way too aggressive. They have 100% of their assets in stocks. Many, many people would be much better served with an allocation that included bonds.
Right.
And I think people that do have bonds, many people look at bonds incorrectly. They look at bonds as a way to pay them the very highest interest rate.
You're right.
But that's not the function of bonds. Bonds really are, they're an insurance policy. So if you look at this market today, bonds are there for an insurance policy. So if stocks are really dropping, you can take some of those bond gains and then reinvest. That's our rebalancing tool.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Jackie, you on that line, you wrote the paper. And if you go to our website, empiricalwm.com, you can pull Jack's paper down on retirement and the different phases and everything. And what do you say to the retired person right now as, we go through these calamities, as it were, who say, I haven't earned any money on my portfolio over the last 12 months, and I'm taking money out. And there you have kind of a dual leverage on them to want them to panic and buy an annuity.
Right,
or just pull all their money out and put it in money market until things look better. And what would your advice be?
Well, hopefully the allocation for that retirement person was set up correctly that would anticipate these kinds of market conditions. So what I would say for, certainly our clients is, look, we've built this allocation to withstand some very, very difficult times. Ken, we build portfolios basically for our retirement people that would have withstood the Great Depression. We've back-tested it through the Great Depression. So if you haven't gone through that process, ask friends. Talk to some friends about who their trusted advisor is. I would suggest before you do anything, get in and talk to a very knowledgeable and experienced advisor.
Because I think the feeling is, and we've seen this, is that, hey, the world's coming to an end here. And if we have this, it's called recency, where we take what happens recently and we project that indefinitely into the future. So if the market's down 20%, our natural inclination is first you get the stomach burning feeling, and then you say, if this continues, I am not going to be able to support myself through retirement, right? And so the fallacy there is that, hey, we're going to lose 20% a year until I have no more money, or I'm withdrawing, and therefore I'll never recover. And so, it's difficult, because I find even when we show people this data in advance and say, hey, this is what's going to happen, this account's going to decline, it's going to go through these tough periods of times. And we've had calls where, the portfolio is down 4% and people are panicked. And we say, well, wait a minute. We showed you that this portfolio in its worst year, the 60-40 global, had dropped almost 20% a particular year. Why now, after it's down 4%, are we in a panic and we're ready to throw the towel in and abandon a very prudent and sound long-term strategy?
Well, Ken, a good advisor, this is the time when they really earn the fees. It's really not when the market is going through the roof and it's two or three or four years of great performance. It's now. Our job is, or a good advisor's job, is to hold our clients' feet to the fire. We've got the experience. We've taken them through the process. We just need to hold their feet to the fire. And I think we do a very good job of that. And that would be the lesson for an individual investor in retirement. You need to hold the course. You also need to go out and you need to get some good advice, because this is when that advice is needed. Because as you alluded to, Ken, people project out current conditions. Market's down now. It's always going to be down. It's going to go down. Right. And it's going to bleed away to nothing. And I guarantee when this market does turn, the psychology will flip, and now people will start thinking, well, I better get in on this gravy train because it's always going to be this way.
Right.
And it's not.
Well, Jack, how do you define good advice? And this is another irritant I have, is that so many advisors out there purporting different things. You know, here we are on saying, hey, forget about market timing. Forget about sitting there with an undiversified portfolio. We have all this, what we believe is the best approach to building, retaining, and, you know, being successful at growing your wealth. And then you have another advisor on a radio show saying, hey, call me and I'll tell you what mutual fund to be in. Or, you know, how do we convince a client that what we're doing is the right way to go?
Well, that's a tough question, but I've said it before several times on this radio show. You know, basically, don't listen to the advice of radio talk shows, you know, including right. ourselves. But what you really need to do is the listeners need to take some responsibility for themselves, and they need to do some homework. We're convinced, and we have data, you know, coming out of our ears that show the passive approach is the best. You know, call us or call the other advisors. Make them show you. Make them give you the work that you can do your own due diligence on. You know, do some homework on your own.
Our engineer Simon has put a list of books on our Successful Investing Radio website that listeners can go to.
Now, Ken, when you and I put this show together, we knew that most of our listeners would not become clients of ours. We have a $1 million minimum. We work with very high net worth clients. You know, our goal was to spread this knowledge, the same knowledge we use for our very high net worth clients, to everybody.
That's right.
And you touched on it. We're putting together a very extensive library of interviews and books. You know, go access those. Learn about it.
Yeah. And call us. I mean, we're running out of time today, Jack. But you can call us. I'd love to give you, we have that investment proposal statement. It's about a 50-page report that breaks down all these portfolios. You can reach us at 1-800-923-4307. Well, have a great week.
And stay invested.
The advice given on this show is for informational purposes only. It is not intended as investment advice. Please consult a financial advisor before undertaking any investment decisions. While the show's producers have tried to provide accurate and timely information and have relied on sources they believe to be reliable, the show may include inadvertent technical or factual inaccuracies. Jack Monteith and Ken Smith do not warrant the accuracy or completeness of the materials provided and expressly disclaim any warranties or merchantability or fitness for a particular purpose.